In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, Jesus made a very bold declaration in the temple in Jerusalem to both the Jewish leaders and the crowd. As he continued to teach, he said, "I am the light of the world." Why did he say this? What does it mean? Let's hear the gospel text in John chapter 8, verses 12 to 19. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." God's Word. Brothers and sisters, it was the last day of the events in the annual feast. The celebration was coming to a climax. On that solemn occasion, not only the temple, but the entire city of Jerusalem was celebrating by lighting lampstands. The most exciting part of the event was remembering the deliverance of their Hebrew forefathers from Egypt. That miraculous deliverance included the Lord's provisions for them in the wilderness. They were divinely provided with manna and quail for food and drinking water from out of a rock. This was not all. During the day, they were divinely protected from the heat of the sun by a pillar of cloud. And at night, they were guided by the light of a pillar of fire that moved ahead of them. Those concrete provisions symbolized to the next generations the Lord's abiding promises of salvation and care. Earlier in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, we read about Jesus feeding the thousands. Before that, in chapter 4, he spoke to the Samaritan woman of giving the water of eternal life. Now in the temple, it was the job of the class of teachers or rabbis to teach the people about the more abiding promises of God in the coming of the Messiah King. Through the prophets of the Old Testament scriptures, those abiding promises were mentioned repeatedly. The prophet Isaiah consistently repeated his message of hope in the promised Messiah King. This is in the context of the coming fall and sure end of the earthly kingdom. It had to give way to the fulfillment of the original divine calling of Abram the Hebrew, the blessing of all families of the earth. In chapter 4, Isaiah spoke of the promised Messiah King, saying, "The branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel." He goes on to use the symbols of the protective pillar of cloud and pillar of fire that the forefathers experienced in the desert. He said, "Then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy. There will be a booth for shade by day from the heat and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and rain. So, the gist of Isaiah's message is that the Babylonian invasion and the exile are about to take place on account of their sin. This would indeed end the earthly kingdom, yet it was not meant to diminish the nation of those who worship the one true living God, the Creator and Sustainer of all. Rather, these events were meant to open the door for the expansion of the nation through the coming of the Messiah King. The discouraged people of God were exhorted to look forward to what is coming. In chapter 60, the prophet Isaiah said to them, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and the thick darkness of the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." So, Jesus was not inventing the term light of the world. Rather, he was declaring its prophetic fulfillment in himself. The promise of the Messiah King was not as the light of a small, diminishing kingdom, confused and corrupted by false teachers and decadent religion. Rather, it was a promise of the light to the whole world. His is an all-inclusive kingdom of all nations. Brothers and sisters, before Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world," witnesses were testifying that he was a unique and unparalleled rabbi or teacher. They said, "No one ever spoke like this man." Christ is not merely the perfect teacher of God's word. He is the one who fully represents the divine word or logos in the flesh. This is exactly God's promise through Isaiah. We read in Isaiah chapter 42, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind." Brothers and sisters, Christ then asserted his fulfillment of those divine promises. Already Isaiah chapter 9 described the promised Messiah King as the light. He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy." Darkness, lostness, and hopelessness were and still are prevalent among all peoples and nations. That is the sure consequence of human depravity. Irrationally clinging to false hopes that somehow we will overcome greed, selfishness, deceptions, wars, falsehood, injustices, oppression, that somehow the world can become undefiled by pollution or become free of disease and even overcome death itself. Truly, neither religion nor science nor political ideologies can dispel the darkness of our world. Truth, holiness, and divine self-giving love are fully manifested in the new Adam, Christ. He is the divine logos or word. He is the new Adam among people for all humanity. To our world, Jesus is the glorious light of the world. He is the blessing that was promised to Abraham through David's line for all families of the earth. This is exactly who Jesus is and what belonging to him brings. His gospel message redeems our fragmented and disintegrating humanity. It builds a new humanity. This transcends and transforms and unites people of all cultures, languages, races, and ethnicities. Whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For he is the light of the world. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations at all times throughout the whole earth by the message of the gospel. Amen.